Okay, hey, Bachelor Masters here. Now, co-host Caitlin is on vacation, and that includes a vacation from podcasting. So just easy, R, it's just you and me today, yeah.
Just just like old times.
Are we going to have anything to talk about? It's so awkward.
Well, the thing is, I don't feel like it's awkward. It feels like you go back to the things we used to kind of, the kinds of things that used to derail us that were our very niche interests,
right.
Including urban planning and state laws. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have co-host Caitlin here to keep us on track. We can go in any direction.
I know. Well, I was just thinking, I was just listening to this, you know, they keep bringing up that Serene's an Oklahoma teacher, and it keeps kind of like, every time I see that on the Chiron, I get, oh, and I remembered why, because there is a new law that's hasn't been signed on to yet, but supposedly if a teacher in Oklahoma says something that goes against a kid's religion,
right,
that kid or their parent can sue that teacher for up to $10,000, and they can't crowdfund or get it paid for by an organization. It has to come out of that teacher's pocket.
Oklahoma.
Oh, it's an interesting law. And so every time I see poor Serene, I think, oh, poor Serene, you know, he's got to, like, that would be a very, imagine all the things you've said as a teacher, Craig. Imagine anything anyone says anytime, and someone has a bone to pick with you, and they decide that it goes against their religion.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
They sue you. Yeah. That'd be horrible.
Personally sue you.
Yeah.
No one else is responsible. Oh my goodness. Anyway.
Yeah.
So don't get derailed yet. Start with Shanae. Although I was, that was me.
Well, my only sort of tangent, big tangent, is that, you know, we talk about gentrification on this show from time to time, but freaking Croatia is the epicenter of gentrification. Like, they've never had their own country. They were communist for all those decades. And then as soon as the communism fell, then they went into a protracted war with their other Yugoslav countries over the borders of their country. So they went into a grisly war. And then as soon as that war was over, then Europe invaded with all their money and started building resorts along the coast. So it's like they never even owned their own land, really, you know?
It's right. So it's very strange that they picked Houston, Toronto, and then a country in the Eastern European bloc. And I don't want to connect these dots like some crazy person, you know, pointing to my to my cork board with string. But these just so happens that these three places are held up by YIMBYs as standouts, right? Laissez-faire housing, building allowances, new planning layout, anything goes, no zoning, ignoring old philosophy of how urban planning works. Now, like, to be so clear, urban planning was obviously had a lot of issues. It's not
freeways.
All philosophy based, right? It is baked into a lot of prejudices. But as we all know, YIMBYs are not any better. They just pretend to be better. Why are they, you know, why would they pick? So whenever you see like market urbanism, not urban, urbanism reports out, you will find these three places as standouts for those people for how we should move forward in urban planning.
I don't know if anyone says Houston is how we should move forward with urban planning.
Oh, yes, they do, Craig. And I'll tell you why. Because they are getting rid of any kind of building the kind of the, oh my gosh, the word is escaping me right now, but basically it's like when you give more variances. They're giving up building the variances on how tall something can be based on how much they give back, as in affordable housing, as in green space.
Right.
So a building can go as high as it needs to. And so there's zero buy-in from developers to, you know, construct. They can construct till they as much as they want. They can go as high as they want. They can make it as parking, like zero parking minimums. So yeah, Houston is weirdly one of these places that is the ground zero, because they have nothing to lose by going into the YIMBY vision.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It is strange. Like when they went to Houston, I'm like, Houston, because I understand everyone's like general hatred for Houston or whatever. I know you were talking about it before,
it's a suburban wasteland.
But I have a new, a 2020 Houston kind of like, because they have absolutely no give back to the original community of Houston, to the community of the 90s. All they're doing is building and, you know, and I know that parking is a issue that we can weigh, but YIMBYs don't want to weigh the parking. So YIMBY stands for yes in my backyard.
I mean, this might really be true for like
build.
This might be true for like the downtown core of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But the concentric rings around Houston is suburbia, and they keep building freeways to connect them. There's something called the Freeway to Nowhere. Have you heard about this one? It's like a speculative freeway that they built. And so the city is...
Right, so that they build communities where the freeway will go.
Yeah. And
yeah,
Houston is the largest city in America by area for that reason, because it just keeps expanding outward with these freeways and these suburban...
Right, and there's no natural cap.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There's no natural, like boundaries that'll keep it in. Right. And that is the YIMBY dream, is that there is no, you know, we, the hubris of man, can build up and build sideways and build across, and everything should be urban and no attention to whether public transit exists or whether cars are necessary or not, or to heat or to climate change or anything. And that's why I am particularly like zoned in on the places that they're going.
I mean, that's a weird take on YIMBYism from my perspective.
That is the real YIMBYism. That's the problem, is that YIMBYs portray themselves as kind of this identity politics, like, you know, we want everything. Bring us your market. Bring us the market and it'll fix itself. There's no such thing as trickle-down housing. So YIMBYs are, to me, they're just, you know, new wolves in new sheep's clothing. Like they're not anything different than what's always existed. They just have this facade of like some kind of inclusiveness. So, but it's interesting because they always held up Croatia and the Czech Republic and all these places as kind of YIMBY paradises. Toronto, Houston, certain cities in Latin America, you know, places like Madison, Wisconsin, like places way out places that are their meccas in a way, right? They want to gentrify. Because to them, gentrification also, it's another point of it, is that gentrification does not exist. Right.
Right.
So anyway, I guess we have derailed way too much. What are we?
I'm having a little bit of trouble following you. That's all. It's not that I don't believe you. It's just that I haven't heard this side to YIMBYism before, so I'm trying to take it all in.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, well, you know what? It has been festering in me whenever I see, there's like keyword dog whistles to me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I hear certain cities and when I see certain things, and then COVID has kind of had me pent up with planning and urban planning, and so I'm like on the verge of like, this is, you know?
Right.
I get very, and it's weird that they're going to these places. Like, why is that? And they're not talking about those things. So it's just a coincidence.
A coincidence. They're going to these places because the trade boards for their the Better Business Bureau put up money
for the. And where is that money coming from? From the YIMBYs, big tech, where you're from, Craig.
Well, I'm not so sure. I mean, who pays for the what are they called?
That's all libertarian Peter Thiel stuff. I shouldn't even say his name. He's going to find me and kill me.
No, but who pays for the Toronto Tourism Board? There we go.
That attracts these new planners that believe in urbanism, very distinct, philosophy. That's all big tech. And that is not a conspiracy theory. That is to their detriment on the books. You know, they don't want that out. They want it to seem like a grassroots, abundant housing movement.
I thought it was like local businesses pay for the tourism board.
Well, what I'm saying is that it's all kind of astroturfed. All this money has flown into these cities from these kinds of places. Whenever a city wants a big company to come and fill out a mall, for example, an abandoned mall,
right,
that all is a strategy of these YIMBY / abundant housing / whatever it's called. Thing is, they have a huge, that's the umbrella term I'm using, but you'll see it in all kinds of places. Here it happens to be called abundant housing. I know there's places like Grow, insert city name, right?
Well, who's paying for those California ads we see? Like there was a lot during the Super Bowl, like visit California.
Oh, well, I mean, that's a little different. There are, I'm not saying that they pay for everything. I'm saying when a smaller city, like where is this in Croatia?
Hvar.
Right. No, I'm saying that this is a strange place for them to have picked.
Yeah, it's not like Split or like another city you'd think of. Yeah.
I'm not saying this bachelor is at all sponsored by the YIMBY board here, that I'm the secret YIMBY libertarian board that we're talking about. I'm saying that a lot of these places that got this big influx of money are getting these big influxes of money all come from this libertarian think tanks from Silicon Valley.
I don't necessarily disagree with. I mean, Croatia was speculated as soon as the wars ended, and it's being speculated by Western Europeans, and that under the guise of neoliberalism, if you have open trade borders, and there won't be any more war. That's the promise, right, of neoliberalism.
Yeah.
But it comes at a cost. You know, your whole community sells out to developers, and now you don't have a community anymore.
Yeah. I lost where we were before this, because we were saying that Houston. Anyway, point is that when you see kind of these smaller markets, even small within a state, all of a sudden get this big influx of cash. And it's not even all the smaller markets. There's plenty of places there's plenty of places within big cities that all of a sudden get this big chunk of money. Right. And you're like, where'd that come from? And but those places have a natural limit. There's Brooklyn is only so big. East LA, South Central is only so big. So they're going to these other places. This is like the frontier to them. And I think that it is so, like I said, we're kind of derailing, but I remember in the 90s, I saw Craig, remember the show 2020, uh-huh, still on the air, but it's a little different, right? Uh-huh. There was a really hilarious story once that was like, there was a Time magazine cutout. I want to say it was Time magazine. I might be totally wrong. Like an insert that said like, win a trip to Houston. I'm pretty sure it was Houston. It might've been Dallas. And all inclusive, and you get this. One person entered. And because only one person entered, the mayor at the time started doing a huge campaign about how great her city is. And so I think this cash is very welcomed in some places by the community too.
Right.
But not everywhere. So it's hard to fight against something where, you know, you have a fourth of the people who see your vision, me, the what we call, you know, public housing in my backyard vision, or kind of a for the residents that are pre-existing, like for them vision, but it's very hard to get a lot of people on board. So, politics. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. Okay.
Well, for what it's worth, doesn't Toronto have good public transit? I feel like it does.
That's, I mean, they are perfect for a place. I had a friend who was doing kind of like a futurism board in Toronto, who was about to work there before the pandemic hit. But there is some like next level, grow this city is, where it has some.
Yeah.
Now I wish I could remember. I should have texted her before this.
Well, it's accelerated growth versus natural growth. People want accelerated growth. Politicians want accelerated growth. Well, politicians do, I think.
Right.
Because it's like, what did you accomplish in your 4 years as the, it's like, well, we built this and we built that. And you remember that, of course you do, but it was on East Adams, your old neighborhood.
Mm.
Remember they brought in the Fresh and Easy grocery store?
Yeah, I lived right there. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was like, I loved that Fresh and Easy.
I love that Fresh and Easy too.
But then it just went out of business inexplicably.
Well, all Fresh and Easy's did.
Yeah, that's true. They all did. Yeah.
Okay.
Has it been filled in by something else?
Yeah, it's now like a I think it's a T-Mobile or a CVS or both.
Ew.
Or yeah.
Ew. Well, the reason I brought that up is because that was like for the council member whose district that is, South Central there, like literally South Central, because it's like literally on Central. That was a really big deal to bring in a grocery store there.
Yeah, and a good grocery store as opposed to what they consider like the food desert area.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of... Anyways, where are you going with that? Only because we should get on to the show. We're going to get yelled at.
No, I brought it up because we were talking about accelerated growth versus natural growth.
Well, I feel like that was kind of natural. It's been asked for a while. Seeing like it not...
Yeah, but it didn't last. It didn't last.
Well, it didn't last.
I know the whole chain shut down, but if it were naturally economically viable, another grocery store would have moved in there, but they didn't.
I mean, I would see a Save-On as kind of equivalent in a way, and in the terms of like necessity, you know, if it's not a one-to-one, but it's in the same vein.
Maybe.
Okay. Craig.
Yes. Did you have a lot of caffeine today?
No, I don't.
You don't drink caffeine.
No, I don't drink caffeine. But
did you get a good night's sleep?
Yeah, I'm fine. The show was, I mean, the episode was boring enough to not really worry about it, you know?
Right? I mean, I'm cool talking about random stuff too. You know, I like the tangent. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not trying to tangent though. I think it was important to bring up that we are. I wonder where we're going next. Is my question, and if we could add to this, like they're still staying in the Eastern Bloc, then I'm putting my foot down, and that's
they're going to go to Moscow.
That's
wild.
Paid for.
Or Ukraine? Wouldn't that be crazy?
No,
to Ukraine.
Yes, that would be interesting. That would be interesting. Like
the show would take on a whole new level if they went to Ukraine.
Yeah,
we're going to the romantic city of Kiev.
I know. Well, see, isn't it weird? Whenever he said anything, they act like they know where, like Houston, like they were really excited.
Yeah,
like, they act like they knew where they were going, to Croatia. That's why they have to show you a map.
Right.
I was telling Mark, as soon as they said, we're going to, you know, Hvar, Croatia, I'm like, they have to show him a map. I bet 100% map is coming. Okay. Shanae got cut. How do you feel?
Well, I did say last week to co-host Caitlin that I was trending towards being on Team Shanae. I still think it's just really bizarre that it was a 2-on-1 with Genevieve. I mean, there wasn't there wasn't that raw hatred that.
Well, she still managed to pick on her, right? She still managed to, like, I honestly, though, and like I said, Shanae hits on some truths, and I think that's why it's so hard to kind of think that she is just, like, pure evil. I mean, she is, but to kind of not give her the you're right sometimes, is that the Genevieve is from Massachusetts and moved to L.A. to be a bartender? I don't think so.
Right.
Right. So maybe she could have been maybe telling the truth. Maybe she
is an actress. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Not that matters there, and not that Shanae is much worse. But could that be true? Like, that's the problem. But see, but his face, he's been trying to cut Shanae. His face was beyond done. Right. That this is a podcast, so I couldn't really cut that out. But I felt like his face was like, this is not worth it anymore. Like, he's had enough of her crap look.
Did he have a I've had enough of your crap look? Let me think about that for a second. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, he did say, like, he kind of said that he begrudgingly is not giving her the rose. I mean, he was like, you know, I really, it's not in me to give you this rose. I don't know. I think he wasn't quite decided, and he just had to pick somebody. I don't know.
He did not have that. I don't know. To me, he had the, like, you again, you know, like, and so supposedly, so I did not per se look this up, but I'm going to trust an article. It said someone on his Instagram or Twitter said, if you were made to keep Shanae on, wear blue in your next post. Oh, so I'm guessing that was Instagram. Yeah, you read this?
He did. Yeah, yeah.
And then he did.
Yeah.
But see, here's the thing, is that Clayton could be lying too, because it's in his best interest to act like they asked him to keep Shanae, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So maybe live your life so people don't cheer and call you an STD when you get cut. I think that's the lesson here for you and Caitlin and Shanae and everybody. That she sucked.
All right. I mean,
but she is fine. But there is nothing left without her. That's true that way.
Villain's gonna villain.
Yep. Well,
villain's gonna get cut.
Up next, Marlena got cut, the Olympian.
Right.
So here's my take on her, though. She was my gauge on who's right and wrong. She seemed to always take the high road and always was there for the women. She was like the den mother. Mm-hmm. Obviously well earned. She was always there, but she was not interested in Clayton, which I admire, because I feel like she had no other motivations except to be a good friend to everybody. If you can resist Clayton, then you got my admiration.
Right.
So now that she's gone, I feel like my gauge is wrong, you know, could be wrong, because you always look towards someone like that, especially with the women, to see, because with the men, it could be very skewed, like Tyler Cameron, right? He led the pack whichever way his whim wanted him to. But I feel like Marlena is a good center, wholesome center. So yeah. I really liked her being there, but now she's cut.
Well, she'll be on Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, she'll be able to correct the record, I feel like, a lot, hopefully, if she speaks up.
Well, by correcting the record, if you mean actually telling us what event she was in, you know, that'd be nice.
Caitlin told us it was some kind of running event.
Oh, was it? Yeah, but it's just so weird. We've already talked about this, but it's just so weird that Clayton doesn't ask follow-up questions. Yeah. And that's like the main one. Like, oh, really? What event? who out there would not immediately ask what event when someone tells you they're an Olympian? That's the first thing you would do.
Yeah.
Oh, really? What event? Oh, biathlon. That's great. I love the biathlon.
Even like very specific things, right? Because some kind of running event, I mean, there's so many. Well,
now they have mixed events. So
female and male.
Female and male. Yeah. And it's like doubled the medal count. Because, like, especially with these Winter Olympics, it's like, no matter, you know, they have the ski cross and the snowboard cross, and now they have mixed cross. I'm not saying it's bad by any means. I'm just saying it's like added so many more medals to the thing. But I mean, when someone asks you what event, how detailed do you have to be in your response? Do you say, "Oh, I was snowboarding"? Well, that doesn't tell the whole story. Like, yeah. What event were you in snowboarding?
Yeah. I'd be happy right there because I don't understand any. I don't watch anything. So I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
I keep my eye on it. I like the.
Yeah, you would want to know a lot of details, and I think a lot of people would because they'll.
Did you train your whole life to be on it? Like some events, like swimming, you got to train your whole life and have no life other than the life that you have to. Like Chen. This figure skater.
These are new people. Yeah, I don't. I haven't.
See, we need co-host Caitlin here.
See,
he was the anointed one.
Yeah, I did.
He won the gold finally after winning everything for like the last 5 years or something.
Oh, right. It is, and he's a little boy. I saw the interview.
Yeah, it's just like Tiger Woods. He was famous when he was a little boy.
Yeah.
Which to me just means his parents are psycho.
Yeah.
And he's been training his entire life.
So true.
And knows nothing other than ice skating.
See, but also I don't know if this is true in every country because it is true in some countries when there's one standout person, but America does this every single Olympics. They pick a handful and they tell your story and then you are set for life. You're making, the apps, you're making app commercials for like therapy. Forever, because you had some harrowing story from your Olympics, and it's all propaganda. You know, it's all like the American story. If you're not super white, if you're not Michael Phelps or what's that guy that got that lied in Brazil and got all these people arrested and beat up or killed or something?
Ryan Lochte. He didn't get anyone killed. They urinated in public and then lied about it.
Yeah. Well. That's not great.
No one got killed.
Well, I thought he got someone in trouble.
No, I think they just lied. They were, it was after all their events were done, so they went out drinking and then they peed in a gas station parking lot and then lied about it when they got caught. It was the lying about it that pissed off Brazil.
Yeah. Well,
they would have gotten away with it. Nothing would have happened if they just told the truth.
Don't you think that if they lie about stuff like that, they're always lying and always like doing bad stuff in other countries?
Well, and these always are
kind of being disrespectful.
I don't want to dismiss what they did, but I don't. You know, if you train 365 days out of the year, it's not like you're going out drinking. So like they're probably not used to it, and so you know I don't think this is something they do all the time.
No, not exactly that, but I think they're always. Trying to break the rules, and the guy's the guy, so he's always out there breaking rules and not caring and passing it on to the next one or whatever. Anyway, my point is that they haven't had the time to fill in the gaps in a lot of these people's stories on TV with how harrowing their story is and blah, 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 and how they've been training, and so I don't know everyone's name yet. That they're going to make into some superstar.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So anyway, the Olympian gets cut.
Oh, and then Teddy goes on her date and she finally tells him that she's a virgin.
Finally, right. After seeing him for the third time ever.
Right. she has major Sarah Jessica Parker vibes to me now. I only see Sarah Jessica Parker in kind of the story. She, you know, she's always saying something like the way Sarah Jessica Parker does. I don't know. Her face looks like her. Hmm. Anyway, you haven't heard that. I put it together the other day. I was like, oh, that's why. Here is Clayton talking about how he wants to bone her, but of course saying it in a super nice way.
Yeah, this is, I think I know what this is.
It is exciting to know that, like, I could be the first person that she falls in love with. To think that I could be her first of many things, I think it'd be very special.
He did go on to a word salad when she said, oh, yeah, I'm a virgin and whatever. I want to be in love. But she like, walks it back, you know. She's like, but I'm basically, she was saying she'll bone in the fantasy suite. is basically what she was saying.
And he just makes me feel safe physically.
His response was like a word salad. Like, well, you know, in and 100% and walls up and down. And
yeah, he's trying to play. He's trying to have a foot in each place so that he could say, oh, look, oh, that sounds great. Awesome. So we can do it. Right. But also, I want to make sure you're safe. You know, he's trying to use the code words at the same time as he's trying to use the real words to confirm that she is down to go to the fantasy suite. So it is pretty. But it seems like they understood each other. The thing is, he's not trying to convince her, so it's not bad.
Right.
She wants it, so it's fine.
Right.
Well,
he said during his confessional, right after he said what they said on the clip, he says, and I want to make sure I'm 100% in.
Oh. I didn't catch that innuendo, but yes, I agree. So then because of Shanae's gaping hole, not innuendoed, they weirdly picked Mara as the new underdog monologue person that they're going to concentrate on.
Yeah.
Now this feels like a then and there decision, you know, decided right then and there in Hvar, Croatia. So it's not really very interesting TV, I think, in retrospect, except especially for someone who is dead last, right? Who is below her in terms of who he is interested in. He wasn't even interested enough to come, you know, she comes up to him and says, why didn't you pick me for the one-on-one? And he goes, wait a minute, who's saying that they are not interested in me? And completely changes the subject on her. So pretty smart.
Why did Sarah get a second one-on-one?
One of two reasons or both reasons. The producers wanted to make Mara some kind of, like I said, like an underdog monologue person. Or he's really not interested in her and has to keep her around for this exact monologue.
Yeah, but there were other women who haven't had one-on-ones that could have gotten a one-on-one.
So
really?
As they were reading the people, I kind of thought they all had.
Oh, really?
But I could be wrong because I'm trying to think of everybody. I'm pretty sure they've all had like Genevieve's thing counts as a one-on-one.
Then that is a kind of a dick move.
Yeah, but
pick Mara.
As far as we know, it's not really. It is him, and it's not him, right? He's not interested in her, but the producers won't let them cut each other because of the roast date where Mara picked on Sarah.
Right.
And so they're like, "Oh, we can take this somewhere." I'm guessing that's what's going on.
Huh. Good insider conspiracy theories you can only hear on The Bachelor Masters.
I mean, that's the only logical. That is not. I don't feel like that's that crazy. I feel like that's a little.
But Sarah, on the other hand, is totally unwatchable.
I mean, it is.
She's bringing nothing to the table. Which isn't her fault. She's 23.
Right, she's just not very. She bounces back between this believable crying thing where she's, you know, her quote character is getting questioned. They didn't quote this, but that's what they're saying, right? That's what they always say. Right. My character's put in question. To being completely vindictive about it and saying like, oh, now it's going down. Who said that about me? They're gonna have hell to pay. So, it is. I mean, who's below Mara though? That was my question to you. Who is there? Anyone worse off than her? No, I've never even anymore. Seen them I mean, kiss. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for the producers to give her some kind of storyline that isn't. It doesn't even feel like they're quite making her the villain either. It just feels like they
are. Well, she's going to be on Bachelor in Paradise too.
Kind of. Oh, that's she could be on Bachelor in Paradise, right? Yeah. But then she could. But then she's also not really. What was I going to say? I don't know. It's just kind of a boring little side story that they're trying to cook up, and it's not very interesting because he's not interested in her, and because Mara herself is. First off, she didn't even, when she went to Clayton to say some people here in the house aren't ready for marriage. She never said Sarah. And I don't even think maybe she was trying to imply it, but she didn't do it in a rude way. You know, it wasn't like he inferred that.
Right.
And on his own, and then took it on, you know, rode it off into the sunset to Sarah. did not check with Mara, did not say like, it's Sarah, right? Like, did he? No, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, it didn't matter. So anyway, boring. Okay. On to, well, we could, if do you have anything else to say about Sarah's weird crying thing?
No, I kind of went out of order, but she's just, well, I love too how like she's bawling, crying, and then they make out. Yeah. Oh, that reminds me. Are you paying attention now to Clayton's lips smacking with his tongue?
No.
His tongue? No. You didn't notice any of his tongue movements?
No.
They're so blatant this episode.
I don't want
to watch him. Anytime the camera cuts to him, he's licking his lips in a weird kind of lizardy way.
I don't want to look. I told you his face is weird. Everything grosses me out this season because things like that keep happening. Women keep crying and then they're kissing him and there's
Glue
and snot everywhere.
Where Rachel's like literally like hanging off of him. And then when they make out, she takes her hands and is like rubbing his neck.
Ew. And then they're like, the whispering is, it's all the whispering continues. Ugh.
I tried to tweet something about whispering, but I couldn't think of anything funny enough.
Just put it in asterisks. So it's whispering.
Right.
That's the whispering emoji or whatever. No, symbol. Look, Rachel was the first to say, I'm falling for you. And Susie was the second. Like last week, remember when we were talking about how Susie and Rachel were the only ones who did kind of an anti-roast?
Right.
Because they wanted to make sure they stay on top. They're the only ones who, whenever they have a one-on-one interview, they have nothing bad to say about Shanae or anyone. Right. They're always on their best behavior, which in a way is a red flag to me because they're so poised. They're so good at what they do. And they're whispering and they're sending him secret love notes and taking it up to the clock tower. So, they're nothing bad about these women, but it is very calculated in a way.
Clock tower was so strange. Like Clayton went manic on Susie.
He's like,
my God, yes.
The hottest girl here loves me. Like that's what he's so excited.
He didn't take his bipolar medication. Started freaking out.
Well, he was that clock tower. I mean, I think she thought it was going to be cooler than it was. Cause she got up there and she's like, this is so fun. And she did not sound like she was having any fun.
Right. It's like, ooh, we can't see anything.
Yeah. This is lower than I thought. and so here's the part of the show that I did find hilarious though, is here. I'm going to play Jesse Palmer's advice for Clayton, which is like, this is Jesse Palmer's, you know, get you on his side as the host moment.
Yeah.
And he kind of messes it. I think he doesn't play it right.
Find love and my future wife. And so I did kind of come to the conclusion that it's Sarah.
Okay.
And it was confirmed by Mary. At least that's one of them. I don't know if there's more. But that's been the biggest fear since day one. Do I fall in love with somebody that doesn't feel the same way back? I don't want to fall for that person.
You're scared? I was scared during my journey around the same time. For me, picking someone that wasn't there for the right reasons, that absolutely terrified me. It sounds like you need some answers.
Well, he's like, Clayton should have said, yeah, it is terrifying. That's exactly what I just said.
Yeah, and I do need some answers. Please answer me. Help. Like. I mean, Chris Harrison didn't do any better. That's true. But like, I don't know.
Chris might have had something to say.
They might have sat down at a comfier place, not outside in the middle of the night, like robbers, right? Like trading information or something.
Yeah, I was going to say like that whole scene was actually shot on the Warner Brothers backlot.
Yeah, it had a very like Dick Tracy moment. So this is, you know, if everyone's kind of confused and no one really knows what's happening. And here's another one, is that I can see how Sarah would have said, oh yeah, I'm only 23. I'm not ready for marriage. Like she's having fun with Busta Rhymes in clubs and stuff. She's living as a wealth, you know.
She went to a club once, and you're saying that she's not ready for marriage.
No, I'm saying that she's partying it up. She's having a good time.
She's partying it up. We only know of her partying once.
That's a pretty big partying story. That does not show to me a
one-time. Is that the one where she pissed herself?
Yes. That is definitely a seasoned partier. And so...
Yeah, that's true. When I peed in the frat house at Stanford, I was seasoned by that point.
Exactly. You're not going to do that on the first time or the first couple or whatever. So it's not a completely crazy thing to say. And she could have taken it better. She could have been like, I know I'm young, but that is not something I would say because I am ready because of this. She just cries and says, who would do this to me? like, wait a minute. You're not proving your point here. And that is it, Craig. And I'm okay with this being so short because the episode sucked. Like, despite, even if Caitlin was here, we would have little to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
Let me see. I mean, we went very fast, but you know, when it was just you and me doing the podcast, our episodes were shorter. There's something about the two of us where we just jam through it. It's just the two of us.
I agree with you, except that this episode does not help your case here because right. There was nothing that happened. Just like last week, we were waiting for this 2-on-1 and it sucked. Like, right. And next week we're supposed to be waiting for this Mara Sarah showdown because Sarah looks like she stands up for herself. Right. Great. But then what, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And the previews for the next episode it once again went into the I had sex with all of you scene, but it was unclear if that's going to be next week or
they got nothing.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying, right? They just got nothing and so they keep showing you the fence jump.
it's got to happen here sooner or later. So, but right. it was unclear if it's going to happen next week because we need that scene in order to make this fun again, just like we needed the fence jump.
I try to skip over as much as I can of the previews. Does it seem to you like your original estimation of what women were there, or is it seem more jumble cut to you now?
Yeah, it seems more jumbly, but yeah. It was, I mean, they make it seem like it's Genevieve, Sarah, and Rachel.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what they cut in to make you think it's those three women.
So he doesn't have sex with one of them. Genevieve? That makes no sense. And well, also, where's Susie Sheep?
So there's two roses on the table. So it makes me think that maybe they're going to do a 3-on-1 date.
This is a thing.
It's the only thing that I can come up with. Okay. Because there's three of them.
I'm not asking you for predictions anymore because
two roses.
That's a crazy thing to say.
Well, there's two roses on the table.
That's just a rose ceremony. It's just your run-of-the-mill rose ceremony.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think there's going to be something special.
Put it on the record as a 3-on-1. There's such thing, right?
Well, they're going to invent it.
I think this is the second to last group date we'll see. So fine, they're going to invent it.
Yeah.
No, there's no more group dates. This is it. This is the last group date, probably. This
sword fighting. Something has to put them in a position to have A, already been slept with, and B, have two roses on the stand.
Yeah, the fantasy suites.
Yeah.
And right. I'm sure that Sarah was about to break in half. And so he did not have sex with her. She should not know. Like, you know, I'm petite, short. I used to be very skinny. Not very skinny. I used to be average skinny. But I know that when I look at a man like that, I'm like, nope, 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 nope. Like, it's no. And I'm sure that's true in lots of other ways, right? Men look at certain women and go, oh, no. Like, it's not necessarily like a sexist man thing, but there's also kind of like, I can't take that responsibility on. Right, Craig?
Yeah. I wouldn't know, but yeah. That's funny. I'm not a big guy.
No, what I'm saying is that even in other ways that aren't explicitly sexist, there's things that you know that you just can't handle. Right? You know, any kind of way. You just won't be able to handle it.
All right. I think I know what you're talking about.
Okay. So, and it's not, like I said, it's nothing to do with being, you know, it's just physically, physics-wise, everything. You just won't be able to do it. So.
Well, Rachel seems to be.
Rachel's perfect for him.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Rachel's probably the most perfect out of the ones left. All
right, go Rachel. She's going to win.
Yes. Wait. Who else? Who am I? Teddy? She's fine. She's tall.
Well, hold on a second. Was Teddy in? Is Teddy in the? Maybe it. No?
No. See, that's see, why isn't don't Teddy, trust.
Yeah, don't why isn't trust Teddy in the editing?
The cuts, which is what I told you guys when you saw it for the first time.
Yeah.
And I had to watch it.
Because the final three should be Teddy, Rachel, and then someone else.
Susie or who?
Sarah. Susie.
Sarah. Oh, Sarah.
And Genevieve, I think, are they're vying for the third spot.
Mm, I don't think Genevieve's. She's not interested in her. Right?
I don't know.
from
who wouldn't want to date a Hollywood actress who's also a bartender?
Aspiring bartender. That's it. Any fashion from you?
Any fashion? No, I don't have any fashion.
Oh, good. Except for the blue shorts.
Except for the blue shorts, right.
And Instagram, I'm guessing. Okay. Okay. Then. Well, I like all talking right about the Eastern European bloc.
Yeah, we'll see where they go next. You've piqued my curiosity. So I'll tweet a bunch of stuff about inner city YIMBY politics.
Yes, it is an interesting subject, much more interesting than, well, yeah, let's see where they go next. I don't want to be crazy and connect the dots, but I'm already doing it, so why not keep it going?
Right. Okay, we're going to Kiev.
Well, what would be a good natural next place? Probably somewhere even like for them to kind of, I mean, you could go somewhere, you could go full colonialism, gentrification, and go somewhere in Africa.
Right, like they're going to do that.
We'll see. I mean, you know, what about Monaco or like Egypt or
if something? They went to Africa, they'd make a bigger deal out of it. Like, this is the season that we go to Africa for the
first time. Have they've never been to like Gibraltar or something like in the realm? So. Oh, that's weird. They've gone, that's really weird. Okay. Anyway, okay. So Singapore would be interesting. Singapore.
They've been there before.
No, what I'm saying is that within our politics. Yeah.
Anyway. Yes. Well, okay. Singapore is like this epicenter of rich and poor. You know, they keep building these tallest buildings in the world, and then like the rest of the country is devastatingly in poverty.
It's a perfect urban planning, new planning, like philosophy. Yeah. Let's see. Okay. That's what I'm interested in.
Whoever all right. Follow us on social media, leave us a review, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Bye.